listening to Fox Sports Radio.
What up? Happy Saturday. Thank you so much for joining us on Fox Sports Radio. I'm Joy Taylor, alongside my producers, Ryan and Sam. Iowa Sam, congratulations. I didn't talk to you since last week.
You're, wow.
Your Iowa team coming up with a victory.
That's right.
Yes, Liv Moods predicted that. We had her last week.
Very great prediction.
Yes, it was. We have Nick Wright of First Things First on FS1 joining us today. Taylor Rooks of Bleacher Report. And Darius Butler as well today on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. As you just heard from David, Oklahoma is up 7-3 on Nebraska. And it looks like Oklahoma is on the move again. I love Spencer Rattler. Ooh! Oh, my God. I love that kid. The draft next year, I'm going to be insufferable. I can't wait to find out where he goes. He's so wild. He's just so fun to watch. So I'm really looking forward to that. All right, let's see what they're going to do here. So we're going to keep you updated with the college football all day here on Fox Sports Radio and get you ready for NFL Sunday Week 2, starting with a really... I don't know. How do you describe that Thursday night football game? It was crazy. The Giants doing everything they can to not win a football game, basically. I think you could sum it up in that way. Although I did think it was a great performance by Taylor Heinicke. I want to talk about the ridiculous overreaction to the Packers loss and Baker Mayfield. We'll get you some picks for the NFL lineup tomorrow and talk a little bit about the NFC East, Taylor Heinicke, the New York Giants, Jalen Hurts hype train as well, which I've been on. And of course, all these Dallas Cowboys injuries and how that is going to affect the Cowboys possibly winning the division. But let's start with last week's we all overreact week one, right? Like that's what we do. And it's kind of fun actually to do that. I try to temper my reaction and my emotions from week one of the NFL. And of course, we're also dealing with still unprecedented times. So there were a couple teams that were affected by COVID. Oklahoma just scored a touchdown. I cannot see who. Jeremiah Hall from Spencer Rattler. So Oklahoma is now up 13-3 on Nebraska. You know, there were some teams that were affected by COVID, obviously the Colts being one of them. And, you know, we're still dealing with a lot of extra stresses, and it's really hard to evaluate week one in a normal year, but there were a lot of blowouts in week one, and obviously the Packers being the most notable one with all of the offseason drama with Aaron Rodgers and, you know, really not knowing what to expect from the Saints with Jameis Winston. It was the most staggering and I believe the worst performance of Aaron Rodgers' career. Oklahoma hits the extra point, so they are up 14-3. But the Eagles over the Falcons was a bit shocking to me. I love Jalen Hurts, but I don't think that the Falcons are that bad. The Cardinals over the Titans, not high on the Titans this year, but Kyler Murray looked unbelievable. Seahawks over the Colts, as I mentioned, they were dealing with some COVID issues, but the Seahawks and Bills are my Super Bowl pick. Seahawks had an incredible performance. The Texans over the Jags, okay. Jacksonville's going to be the worst team in the league. I don't feel like that's an edgy hot take. So it's not terribly surprising that the Texans were able to win that game, but the fashion in which they won that game, putting up 37 points. Tyrod Taylor is a savvy vet. They have some pride. But, and you know, Jacksonville's a complete and utter rebuild. But I don't know that the Texans are going to put up 37 every single week. Broncos over the Giants, I think we see what the Giants are now. And that's kind of my point moving into week two. I think we kind of need to just take a deep breath. There was a lot that happened in week one that I don't think is going to be reflective of the rest of the season for several of these teams. And then, of course, 34-13, the Los Angeles Rams over the Chicago Bears. But there's a lot of panic. There's a lot of panic. And the main source of the panic, the main vein of the panic is towards the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. And I don't think that that's unfair. Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers had a really loud offseason. Generally, that points to you're not going to have the best regular season. And while I am team Aaron Rodgers through and through, you gotta give a little credit where it's due. There's only so much energy and time in the day. And if there's that much drama going on between the organization and your leader and the face of your organization, you know, it might affect the locker room a little bit. Now, I think that the Packers are going to be fine. What does fine mean? I think that, you know, they'll win their division, but you have the Lions in your division. You have the Bears and the Vikings. So they absolutely should win the division, which is what they do every single year. And that's what they love to do. They love to win the division. They don't like winning Super Bowls. They've only had two with two Hall of Fame quarterbacks for the last 30 years. So the Packers are really comfortable just being good, not necessarily great. And that's not, you know, sorry if you're a Packers fan out there. I love you. I wish you were better. You're great, but good, not great. You know, you're on the doorstep of the Super Bowl 2 years in a row and decide that, you know, Aaron Rodgers needs to get comfortable with his replacement without communicating with him. But I think that the reaction to the Packers' loss has been the most overreaction has been to the Packers' loss. Because while the Saints were really impressive, and I think they deserve a lot of credit, and Jameis especially, man, the Packers are not that bad. Like, I really feel like it's going to even out this week. I think they are favored by 11.5 over the Lions on Monday Night Football. Those feisty Lions battling their way back against the Niners last week. I don't think that's going to be the case this week. I don't tend to bet against good teams that get humiliated. That is a Colin Cowherdism that I very much adopt. Don't bet against a great team back-to-back weeks after they just get embarrassed, which it was. It was an absolute embarrassment. And Aaron Rodgers said as much himself, but he also wants to move on. And I think that there's great value in feeling the loss and then moving forward. You have to, what is the Ted Lasso? Be a goldfish? Be a goldfish. I love that show. What a great show. I'm catching up on it, and it made me cry. It made me cry this week. It's really such a sweet show. If you don't watch it, you should check it out. But yeah, I mean, he's right. He has said that they don't need to start freaking out. And if they do freak out, then, you know, they're in bad shape. And I agree with that. I think the Packers have limited themselves from the Super Bowl for years. And in this particular year, the way that everything has gone down in the offseason, they are going to be up against it. And that's why I like the Seahawks this year. Obviously, the Bucs are in great shape, too, and they will be in the NFC Championship game. But the Aaron Rodgers saga throughout the offseason and now spilling over into the regular season has been just an unbelievable storyline to follow as a sports fan, as a fan of Aaron Rodgers. And, you know, I tend to side with players in this situation. I wouldn't necessarily do it all the way he's doing it, but they're going to be an interesting team to watch. And, you know, he's said it himself. Him and Devontae Adams is the last dance. At least that's what they posted in their Instagram story. I'm also drinking a pumpkin spice latte today, so I feel very basic.
We are upon that time of year, Joy.
I know. I was running to Starbucks before I came in to do the show, and I'd already had my normal coffee that I make at home this morning because I went down to Skid Row this morning. And so I was like, I don't like to just drink coffee all day. So like, let me change it up. And I got a pumpkin spice latte. Please don't judge me. I know it's basic, but it is the time of year, as you said.
Did you feel that chill in the air this morning?
I did.
It's that time.
The weather.
Finally. And you're wearing plaid too.
I am wearing plaid. I know. I'm such a cliche right now.
There.
I have my J's on though. So at least there's that. If I had come in boots, then I've fully falled out. But because it's still a little warm here in Los Angeles. But thank you so much for joining us today on Fox Sports Radio. Again, we'll talk to Nick Wright, Taylor Rooks, and Darius Butler later in the show. Oklahoma is up 14-3 on Nebraska. We'll get you updated on some of the other games as well. Indiana over Cincinnati 14-10. I don't even want to talk about the Miami Hurricanes right now. I'm trying not even to like look at it. They're down 10-7 to Michigan State. I don't even know what to make of the Canes anymore. West Virginia's up 24-7 on Virginia Tech as well. So we'll keep you updated with all those games. Get more into the slate of NFL games tomorrow, NFC East, and a lot more here on Fox Sports Radio on The Joy Taylor Show. Welcome to The Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. A beautiful Saturday afternoon here in Los Angeles. Thanks for joining us, hanging out with us a little bit as we get you ready for the NFL Sunday tomorrow. and keep you updated on all the college football madness going on right now. I can't. I just can't even look at this Canes game. I want to turn it off. What did I do to deserve this?
Michigan State's on the rise.
I know. They are. They are. They've been playing well and putting up a lot of points, actually. But there's very few existences that are more frustrating than being a cocky Canes fan, which is what I am. And every single
year. It's been a tough year for that. It's been a tough year for that.
Yeah, it didn't start well. It didn't start well. Thank you for reminding me of that. I didn't have high hopes for that that Alabama game. I didn't think it was going to be that bad, but that was a rough watch. We're going to talk to Nick Wright at the bottom of the hour, Taylor Rooks and Darius Butler later. So that Thursday night game was something. What I was looking for the most in that game was, what was Taylor Heinicke going to do? Because the way that Washington has handled their quarterback situation was very curious to me. I like Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think he's great, but as a person, so none of this is personal. Generally, what I'm talking about is not personal anyway, so I don't even know why we feel like the need to say that in media. It's not personal. I'm just talking about how he plays. I wouldn't feel confident going into the season as a Washington football fan. I wouldn't have felt confident with Ryan Fitzpatrick for 17 games. He's out now, and you have Taylor Heinicke. And of course, everyone is going to default to Cam Newton should be signed there. I knew they weren't going to do anything on a short week, but Cam Newton and Ron Rivera have already worked together. So I just don't, that's not going to happen, I don't think. I would be very surprised. And it's nothing against Cam Newton. Obviously, I'm a fan. I talked about it last week. I just don't even know if that's a good fit at this point. But they were very conservative in the offseason, and now Taylor Heinicke is going to be the quarterback there, it seems, the starter moving forward. But what does that mean for the NFC East? Because Washington has a great defense. They have great weapons. Terry McLaurin is amazing. Dallas has had some injuries. Jalen Hurts looked really great week one. Again, I think they'll come down to earth a little bit. But, I mean, a lot of people are saying that they're going to win this weekend against the Niners, which I think is a little reactionary. And then you have the Giants, who beat themselves constantly. And they're very frustrating as well. I like Daniel Jones, but, I mean, they're so conservative with the play calling with him. And they just can't seem to get it together. I wish I had it up right now. I think they've won, I don't want to say it and be like egregiously wrong. Maybe you guys can look this up for me. It was a very popular tweet. It's somewhere on my timeline of just their record since that ridiculous boat picture. I can't remember what it is. It's not good. Nothing has gone well for the Giants since they've taken that picture. I blame wearing Timberlands on a yacht, but who knows? Is the NFC East wide open, though? I don't believe so. I still think it's the Dallas Cowboys division. I had them winning the division before the season started. I still feel the same way, even though we are now into week two. What is the record? What is the record, Ryan?
They're 18-48 since the boat picture.
18-48.
They've started every season 0-2 since that picture was taken.
They've started every season 0-2 since that picture has been taken. 18-48. Woo. They got to get some sage in that facility. That's what I always say. Get out there, get your crystals charged in the full moon, and sage that facility. I've been saying the Falcons should have done that as soon as that Super Bowl was over. You got to smoke that whole place out. Get whatever's going on in there, get it out. It's a very LA thing, but you got to say, look, Kyrie's onto something. You got to get that bad energy out of here. 18-48. That's remarkable. It's remarkable. And it's frustrating for me because I'm a believer in big brands. And the Giants are, to me, a cornerstone organization in the NFL. And I mean, that's New York City, and they can't seem to get it together. 18-48. Well, the bigger picture is what's going to go on with the NFC East. So I think we know a little bit more about the Giants now into week two, and the way that their season has started. And Washington is obviously now on their backup quarterback, Taylor Heinicke, who looked good. Dallas has had some injuries, as I mentioned. And the Eagles, I think, will learn a lot about if the first week was, you know, just taking advantage of a really bad Falcons team, or if they are much better than I thought they were going to be this year. despite the fact that I really like Jalen Hurts. Shout out to all the Philadelphia fans that were mad at me for saying that he was the starter. You're welcome. I take Philly cheesesteaks every day of the week as penance. It's still the Cowboys division. And the reason it's still the Cowboys division is because of Dak Prescott. They are the only team with a quarterback that we know exactly what he is and what he's capable of. And they also have the first or second best wide receiving core in the league. So I'm still going to go with the Cowboys, even though they have a slew of injuries. But what is Dallas? Every single year, we make all these projections for what Dallas is going to be, and they consistently disappoint. I was very concerned about what Dallas was going to look like at the beginning of the season because Dak Prescott didn't participate in the preseason, obviously due to injury, but he's coming off of that ankle surgery and the shoulder strain throughout the preseason. And he looked great. Did Oklahoma just score?
Okay, crazy turn of events here, Joy.
Okay.
Nebraska scores, all right? They're going
okay,
for the
Nebraska
extra,
scored.
They go for the extra point. It's blocked and returned for 2 points by Oklahoma. So,
Nebraska, I'm sorry, I was in the middle of my Cowboys rant, and I looked up, and I'm like, wait a minute, what's happening?
My mouth is agape over here watching this. Nebraska scores. It was 14-3, right? They got a score.
Yeah.
And they're kicking the extra point to make it 14-10, but actually Oklahoma blocks that extra point attempt, returns it 2 points for returns the block kick for 2 points.
16-9. Okay, so it's now 16-9, Oklahoma over Nebraska. What college football is so wild.
It's two steps forward, one step back for Mr. Frost. But I got to hand him credit. I mean, they're not getting blown out.
It's a very competitive game. That was a crazy little.
They're down by a touchdown. So
series of events. No, it's the end of the third quarter. So we'll see what wild stuff happens in the fourth. Nick Wright joining us in 5 minutes. Get his thoughts on Dak and the Cowboys and lots of other things. He's very excited. I'm sure he's thrilled to tease me about Baker Mayfield, which I'll mention in a moment if you guys didn't see on Twitter. The last 5 years, the NFC East standings, well, winners, was Washington last year, then Philadelphia, then Dallas, then Philadelphia, then Dallas. So that division likes to switch it up every single year. And it's very difficult to predict because of that. It's a division that isn't really traditionally very good, but we talk about so much because the brands in that division are so massive. So we do spend a lot of time and energy on it, even though they are generally not putting out a Super Bowl contender. But again, I'm a big brand person, and the Dallas Cowboys are the biggest brand in all of sports. But I think this is a very important year for Dallas because the division is so erratic, because Dak Prescott has just been paid. It seems like Jerry Jones is, I mean, Jerry Jones is always talking, but he does seem to be a little bit more reflective as of late, you know, talking about his regrets with Jimmy Johnson. He just seems like he is now coming to the space of like, you know what? We have not been in a Super Bowl in a really long time, and I would like for that to change. I like Mike McCarthy. I like the changes that they made this offseason to their coaching staff. I don't know if they're going to be able to get it done. They certainly don't, to me, don't have a Super Bowl. I can't say they don't have a Super Bowl roster. I think that the Cowboys, if everything went perfectly, could actually make it to the Super Bowl. Are they going to win? I don't know. And I know that this seems like a crazy thing to say, but I just really have a lot of faith in Dak Prescott. I do. I know that makes me a crazy person, but if you look around this division, I don't see any other team in this division winning multiple playoff games, and I think that the Cowboys are capable of that. Well, there's Miami punting again. So there's that, down 10-7 to Michigan. Chase Young actually was really an interesting factor in that game Thursday night. And it's all the more reason why I side with the quarterbacks, because as amazing as he is, all of the rules lean towards the offensive side of the ball. So that's what's so frustrating to me when I talk about Washington. And I like Ron Rivera a lot, but you can have a great defense, and everyone always wants to talk about the defensive line, and everyone wants to talk about how great defenses are. And to me, like, Miami is a great reflection of that last year. They didn't have their quarterback situation sorted out. They have a great defense, and it just doesn't matter. Like, you're not going to win. They didn't even make the playoffs, but you're not going to win multiple playoff games just off of defense. You have to be able to score points. And so Washington moving forward with Taylor Heinicke will be very interesting.
Question for you, Joy.
Yes.
So you're talking a lot about the NFC East here.
Mm-hmm.
And you continue to just overlook the team that is actually at the top of the standings right now, mm-hmm. who actually does not have a loss yet, and that would be the who? That would be the Eagles, right?
Here's the thing about the Eagles. Every time I talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, Philadelphia gets very upset with me. I was talking about the Philadelphia Eagles on Nick Wright's show, who we'll talk to in about a minute, and I've been very hard on the Eagles because I think that they have just been... I mean, it's remarkable that they were... Like, they were just a Super Bowl winning team and like, where they are now. And look, I like Jalen Hurts. I've said from the beginning, give Jalen Hurts the job. He should be the face of the organization at this point. He showed enough to me, even in losses, that he has talent. If you put the right pieces around him, if you lean into what it is he does well, I do think they're in a good situation. I don't know about their head coach. Although it seems like everyone's bought into him, so maybe I'm wrong about that as well. I'm willing to be wrong, though. I don't care about that. If I'm right, I'm going to tell you till the end of time. I was super right about LaMelo Ball. I was very, very right about LaMelo Ball. If I'm wrong, I'm not going to bring it up a lot. But I don't mind being wrong. Like, this is what we do. We make predictions. Sometimes they're right, sometimes they're wrong. It is what it is. Like, if I knew what was going to happen, I would probably be on a yacht betting games every week and not worrying about anything. So I don't know. None of us really know, right? We're just making our educated guesses here. I like Philadelphia. I got to see more from Philadelphia because I am not one of those people that falls for the Falcons every single year. So I like Jalen Hurts a lot. Philadelphia, calm down. I like Jalen Hurts a lot. I need to see more from the rest of the team as a whole. And this week, I think, is a really, really interesting matchup because everyone is very high on Philadelphia, and I cannot wait to watch that game. All right, let's get to what's trending, and then we will hear from Nick Wright on the other side.
Joy, what I guess the question is for you with college. Why the Miami thing? Was it just from birth, or did you feel like...
No, so I grew up in Pittsburgh, so, yeah. You know, I would watch the Pitt Panthers, because if you're from Pittsburgh, you're either a Penn State person or a Pitt person. Occasionally, you're a West Virginia person, actually. So I was a Pitt girl growing up, hence my Dan Marino allegiance.
Right.
But, you know, I lived in Miami for a long time, and that, you know, kind of became my college football team. Hmm. And, you know, Canes games are really fun. And, yeah, so that's where it came from.
Now, would you ever show up on the Fox lot with a gold chain on?
With a turnover chain?
Yes.
I mean, if we won a big game, yeah. But, you know, I'm not going to be out here looking silly.
Well, listen, if you do that on a Friday and you bring it to work here on a Saturday, you have my permission to hit Iowa Sam with it. It's not a
problem. Oh, no, no,
Iowa Sam is an Iowa Hawkeyes lapdog.
He's got a Hawkeye hat on right now.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, he's been like that year in and year out.
Several pieces of apparel, yeah. Actually. Wristband, shirt.
A little disgusting, but it's all good. Anyways, Joy, you had mentioned it, Oklahoma, Nebraska, this game right now. Not a lot of offense, but they're getting some points.
Rattler, play action, rolls right, throws, touchdown! Jeremiah Hall, the Bullfrog!
Yeah, he gets in the end zone, 16-9 is the score, Oklahoma over Nebraska. Game's on Fox. Texas A&M is going to improve to 3-0. They're in the fourth quarter, leading New Mexico 34-0. Isaiah Spiller's got 15 carries for a 118 and also a score of his own. Indiana unranked, leading number 8 Cincinnati 14-10. Bearcats are on the move right now, 7:54 to play in the third quarter. West Virginia on FS1 27-7 over Virginia Tech. Leedy Brown 12 carries for 135 and a touchdown of his own. Coastal Carolina 28-17 over Buffalo. And yes, Sparty is leading Miami 10-7 right now. This game is midway through the third quarter. Michigan has actually scored some points today, 63-3 over Northern Illinois. Purdue and Notre Dame is on deck. That game will get underway in about 5 minutes from now. Joy, back to you.
Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report limitations apply. All right, let's go out to Nick Wright, host of First Things First, dear friend of mine. Although Danielle is my best friend, and that has to be mentioned anytime that I bring on Nick Wright.
Good to talk to you, Joy. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you for coming on with me, Nick.
Of course.
So let's start with you. You tried to put Colin and I on blast for Baker Mayfield last week.
Yeah,
because Baker put out his annual hater video, I don't even need to get into that. But I am the starch. I am the first voice that you hear on this collection of clips, quote unquote, hating on Baker Mayfield, which, look, this is why I don't say nice things about Cleveland, because, I mean, it's against my religion to begin with. And here I am out here sinning, and what am I repaid with? Right, for saying that Baker Mayfield should be paid, for saying that Baker Mayfield is the future of the Browns, for saying all kinds of nice things about Baker Mayfield, I am repaid with being the first voice you hear on the hater video.
Well, sometimes, Joy, you know, your actions are overshadowed by the company with which you keep. And when you are 3 hours a day, 5 days a week, the partner in crime with Baker, the number one Baker Mayfield hater in America, sometimes you get to be a little collateral damage in that. And I saw that and I was like, is this totally fair to Joy Taylor? No, it's not. Do I find it amazingly amusing? I do. So I tried to amplify it as best as I could. And that game went about as well as it could have for your guys' television show, where my Chiefs looked at least somewhat vulnerable, and then Baker makes the big mistake at the end. So, yeah. So until you're willing to until you're totally divorced from Colin Cowherd professionally, you're going to be lumped in with the haters, and I think it's totally fair and reasonable.
Well, if I'm going to be lumped in with any company, I feel very comfortable with Colin Cowherd being in that place. So I feel like where my feet are is the correct location. So, okay, so you mentioned that game. Obviously, you predicted that your Kansas City Chiefs would win that game. That's an easy prediction because there was no timeline where the Browns were going to win that game because Andy Reid doesn't believe in that, and neither does Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, so here's what... Oh, go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, absolutely not.
Could the Browns have won that game? Yes. Like, I'd be lying if I said they couldn't have won the game. But there's two points I want to make about that game specifically. One is the botched snap or the botched punt, it wasn't even a bad snap, the guy just dropped it. I actually don't think that was a meaningful play in the game. Everyone acts like the game, or a lot of people act like it flipped on that. For that to be meaningful, one has to assume the Chiefs were not going to march down the field and score, which they, at that point in the game, clearly were. Where the Chiefs are so hard is this, is they, and I'm going to use a poker term, they put their opponents on tilt. So the Browns had a game plan. They were executing the game plan. They kept getting in second and four, second and two, second and three, because they'd run the ball on first down, and the Chiefs' run defense for 4 years now has been terrible. But so what happened? They're up nine. Mahomes hits Hill for the 75-yard touchdown, but the Browns have the ball with the lead in the fourth quarter. But that one explosive play is so tilting that the Browns then call a pass play on first down. Chris Jones makes the biggest play of the game, in my opinion, on defense. Sacks Baker. Now they're in second and 17. They have to pass. And at that moment, I knew the Chiefs were going to win. Like, the question is, are you going to be able to withstand the mental toll that playing Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce takes on you for a full 60 minutes? The Browns did it for about 52 minutes, and they lost because they couldn't do it for the whole game.
Yeah, that's not enough. We're talking to Nick Wright on Fox Sports Radio on the Joy Taylor Show. So I want to ask you about several hype trains that have completely left the building.
Yeah.
Of which I remain moderately skeptical, and perhaps I'm just being a cynic here. But I want to start with I'm in Los Angeles. Sean McVay is in the honeymoon phase with Matthew Stafford. I mean, he is the heart eyes emoji. When he talks about Matthew Stafford, it's like, I love the sound she makes when she snores. Like, it's the whole thing. And I feel like we've seen a lot from Matthew Stafford. And maybe I'm just trying to shake the image of him in Detroit. And I need to let it go because the Rams are that good. Or is this hype train out of control?
No, I think I think I'm with you. Listen, the Rams are going to be good. They were good with tiny hands, so they're going to be better with Matthew Stafford.
I mean, poor Jared Goff. Poor Jared Goff.
Maybe it's unwoke of me to make fun of someone's hand size. I feel like it's allowed, even in 2021. If there's one thing left allowed to make fun of someone for, its hand size, it's a professional athlete. So, listen, the Rams have the best defensive player in football and maybe the second best defensive player in football and an excellent coach, and Stafford's good. So I do think they're going to be good to very good. Where the hype train is, Peter King said he might throw for 6,000 yards, picked him to win MVP, and picked the Rams to win the Super Bowl. And the question, in order to believe the Rams are going to be able to win the Super Bowl, you have to believe that Matt Stafford can win three consecutive or four consecutive, if they don't get the bye, huge leverage games when he's literally never won a single one of those in his career.
Right.
And I'm not a huge quarterback wins guy, but I do think that is part of the equation. And when you're with an organization for 12 years and four head coaches and Calvin Johnson and 1 year the number two defense in football and Kenny Galladay and Golden Tate and Marvin Jones, and you're always bad, some of that's on you. And so I'm not surprised Stafford looked amazing against the, woebegone Bears. I'm going to be very interested to see him in their big games, the high leverage spots. I think the Rams are going to be good. I do not think they're a Super Bowl team.
What about Mac Jones?
This is the Mac Jones thing really makes me mad, to be honest. So, like, I'm sure you watched that game closer than most because the Dolphins were involved. And here's the thing. Mac Jones played well. He also scored 16 points. Like, the Patriots defense held the Dolphins to 17, and they lost. And so you're like, well, Mac Jones, though, he didn't turn the ball over, completed 75% of his passes. Yeah, so why did they only score one touchdown, and the one touchdown they scored came courtesy of a very questionable roughing the passer penalty? Because everything was the grade school playbook. It's dink and dunk and dink and dunk and check down. And the Patriots do not have explosive enough playmakers to be able to score a lot of points without pushing the ball down the field. So you had Trevor Lawrence this weekend who threw three picks and made a ton of mistakes, but also made a lot of high-level throws. Zach Wilson made some mistakes and got the bleep kicked out of him, but made a few high-level throws.
Right.
And then Mac, who had the simplest, most stripped-down game plan possible. I'm not saying he won't be good. What I'm saying is that I didn't understand some of the hype with him coming out of Alabama. And when you see Alabama this year putting 60 on everyone again with Bryce Young, and you saw them put 60 on people with Tua and 60 on people with Jalen, it's like, oh, how much of it was the quarterback? How much of it was the skill position in the system? So I'm certainly not a buyer on the Mac Jones for Rookie of the Year sales that people are putting on right now.
Talking to Nick Wright, First Things First on Fox Sports Radio. All right, Jalen Hurts. We were talking about the Eagles a little bit. Philadelphia was very mad at me when I said that Jalen Hurts was the starter and this quarterback competition is silly. I was right.
Why were they mad at you?
I don't know. I mean, who knows? I was saying nothing but amazing things about Jalen Hurts. It's the same thing as the Baker Mayfield thing. I think people just hear what they want to hear. I'm like, I am supportive of what you're doing. Why are you angry at me? But regardless, it's fine. I enjoy being the villain. It does not bother me.
Sure.
I have my pumpkin spice latte and a beautiful Saturday afternoon talking to my friend. So, Jalen Hurts. Obviously, Philadelphia is very excited. I think Fanatics said his jersey had like a 500% like sales increase after that game. Yeah. What is the hype train for Jalen Hurts warranted outside of Philadelphia?
Well,
I mean, obviously, Philadelphia is going to be excited.
Right. So this one, I'm going to do I'm not going to pump the brakes on, and I'm not going to hit the gas on either. So Jalen was fantastic. It's also some of the smarter kind of football stats and where you can look at, oh, okay, he did everything to the right side of the field, and everything was kind of the same thing repeated, and Atlanta was just either ill-prepared or maybe they're just terrible. I thought they could be a playoff team this year. That's the problem with week one. We don't know what we're seeing. Like, was the Eagles-Falcons game about the Eagles being awesome? Was it about the Falcons are going to be the worst team in the NFL? Was it about both? Was it about neither? We need more games to figure out why we saw what we saw. But what I will say about Jalen is he played excellent in week one. He's had five career starts, and he certainly had some traits that if he can flesh out some of his passing game, can be elite in 2021 NFL. I am not ready to anoint him the long-term starter, but if he's healthy, he absolutely should start every single game this year and probably next year while they figure out whether or not he is the actual franchise quarterback. But the whole thing they did in Philly made no sense to me. It seemed like they loved him so much last year. That's part of the reason they decided to move on from Wentz. And then this summer, they're like, we won't name him the starter and we're bringing in Minshew. I didn't understand what Philly was doing. And the last thing about Jalen that, you know, I don't mean to correct you on your show, but we should always mention it when we talk about him. You know, very smart man, clearly, because he's a Clutch client.
Oh, of course. Of course. Love Clutch.
I'm such a shoe. I'm the worst.
That's fine. No, shameless plugs. All right. Got to let you go. How many points do the Chiefs win by this weekend?
Oh, listen, I think the Ravens are good. And this feels like the Chiefs up by 10. But as far as for the gamblers out there, it's got backdoor cover. I loved it at 2.5. At 3.5, I'm a little scared. Ooh. It's got backdoor cover written all over it.
Yeah.
So I'll say Chiefs by 3, but if the game is not as close as that. Hey, Joy, by the way,
yes.
Congratulations.
You
deserve all the success and more. Love you. Talk to you soon.
Thank you, Nick. Love you, too. Tell Danielle I said hello.
I will.
That's Nick Wright of First Things First, the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk to Taylor Rooks at the top of the hour. We'll be right back on Fox Sports Radio.
He's Mike Harmon. I'm Dan Byer. We have a brand new fantasy football podcast called I Want Your Flex. Twice a week, every Tuesday and Friday, we come up with new episodes to not only look back at what happened, what you need to do at that minute, and also look ahead of what's coming up in the fantasy football world.
That's right, Dan. Every week we're going to scour the waiver wire to find the pickups to turbo boost your fantasy lineup, sits, starts, fantasy football players' rankings to get you ready to dominate the competition.
Listen to I Want Your Flex with Mike Harmon and me, Dan Byer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you get your podcasts.
What up? Joy Taylor and the Joy Taylor Show here on Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk to Taylor Rooks in 10 minutes of Bleacher Report. And later on, Darius Butler. There's a lot happening. I'm going to try and update you quickly. So Oklahoma is up 23-9 on Nebraska. About 7 minutes left in the fourth there. 17-14 Michigan State up on Miami. Purdue just scored in the Notre Dame game. Purdue Notre Dame. Man, I just, you know, again, as a cocky Canes fan, it pains me to see the turnover chain and the rings when we're down. I just feel like the rule should be we got to be up or like playing a really great game for that to be available. And I don't believe in humble. It's not my lifestyle. It's no one has ever described me as being humble. But self-aware and humility, I think those are two different things. So I didn't get a chance to ask Nick about some of his picks this weekend, but I will let you guys know where I'm putting my dollarooskies. And that's starting with Carolina getting 3.5 against the Saints. Listen, I love what the Saints did this week, the Packers. I thought it was great for Jameis Winston. I loved it for him. I don't know that I'm going to expect the Saints to put up the exact same performance. They are going to be without 7 assistant coaches Sunday in Carolina. 7? They're down to 2 now? Oh, sorry. Sorry, guys. That was inside baseball. Sam was telling me we have 2 minutes left of this segment. I'm like, what's happening? That was bad with the numbers. I was throwing numbers out there. It's okay, Sam. They will be without seven assistant coaches Sunday in Carolina, and three starters due to injuries. That will the Saints be. So I'm going to take Carolina. That's not the only reason, but it is another factor. And like the Saints have a lot going on now. Right now. So I'm going with the Carolina Panthers covering 3.5. Steelers, Raiders, I am not buying the Raiders at all. That was a wild Las Vegas game. But as we know, some people get lucky in Vegas. Sorry for that horrible pun, but I had to do it. Steelers, 6.5. I'm taking them. And the biggest games that I'm not betting this week, when we're talking about the Niners, Eagles, a lot of people are so the public is on the Niners, which makes sense. But the sharps are on Philadelphia -3. And that makes me very weary of it, because I don't have the stomach to put it on Philadelphia against the Niners. So I'm just not going to go anywhere near it. But that is an interesting one. I also think that the Packers, I know it's like, I don't even know what it is now. I think it was 11.5 yesterday, might be up to 12 now. Against the Lions on Monday Night Football. I think the Packers are absolutely going to smoke the Lions, and everyone's going to calm down. And sorry, Detroit, because you know I really like Jared Goff. I'm rooting for him, but I don't think that's a good matchup for you guys coming off of an embarrassing loss to the Saints. All right, Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk to Taylor Rooks at the top of the hour, along with Darius Butler. Get some more thoughts on the Sunday slate of games and keep you updated with college football here on Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Ooh, it's all happening. It's all happening. This is the witching hour of college football Saturdays. Oklahoma up 23 on Nebraska. I'm sorry, not up 23, 23-16. And 3 minutes, 30 seconds left. The spread on that was 22, correct? Yeah, that's not going to get covered. That's not going to happen. We're going into the fourth quarter of the Miami game as well. Miami, Michigan State. This is Joy Taylor on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Thank you for joining us on this beautiful Saturday. Let's go out to my dear friend, Taylor Rooks of Bleacher Report. Taylor, how are you enjoying your college football Saturday?
Oh, what is up? You know what, Joy? Honestly, this is a not terrible Saturday for me because my team played yesterday and lost. So this is a stress-free Saturday for me. Last night was the stress.
What? I thought your team was Georgia.
So I root for the Bulldogs because I'm from Georgia, but since I went to Illinois, like my team
Illinois. You're right.
Yes, but I'm very happy when the Dogs do well, but I'm happier when Illinois does well.
Well, that makes sense. As a woman with many teams, I fully understand that. It's a lot of allegiances going on over here. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Taylor. You can follow Taylor at Taylor Rooks and catch her new show on Bleacher Report, talking to Quavo, Michael B. Jordan. Who else are you having on the show?
So far, we've taped episodes of Quavo that released. We taped with Michael B. Jordan. We taped with Ja Morant. We're hoping to get some NFL guests coming up soon. I think I have a nice NBA guest coming up soon, but you know, you never want to jinx it and put it out there and then it doesn't happen. But I do think I'll have like an NBA legend coming on very soon. So everybody should keep their eyes out for that.
Very exciting. Yes. Make sure you go and follow her so you know when that is coming out. Well, Saquon is back. That Giants loss was rough. 18-48, correct, Ryan, since that infamous yacht picture? 18-48 are the Giants. What is going on with the New York Giants?
That photo is so bad. I'm sorry. Every time someone says it, I'm like, why did they decide to do that? And also, why did everyone have on jeans on a yacht?
Why? Jeans were one thing. Honestly, Taylor, the Timberlands on the yacht. If you have ever been on a boat, which I'm privileged enough to have been on a boat, you're not supposed to even wear shoes. You're supposed to have toes out for the scuffs on this expensive machinery, and you have a Timberlands. It's the universe is not repaying them for that picture.
Yeah, it was a lot, and then it's like Trey Songz is randomly there, and then like Victor Cruz is fully clothed in all black, and he's the only person that doesn't have their shirt off. There was a lot going on. Not the best decision by them. But, no, the Giants, you know, that was very unfortunate. I think it was terrible play calling. I'm like, Dexter Lawrence, what's going on? Even though people are saying he didn't even dip upside, who knows? That's for the refs to be wrong or right about. But no, it's definitely not looking good for the Giants. But I think it's early and there's still time to turn it around. I think it's really early for people to be kind of talking about Saquon's abilities. I'm like, he's coming off of an injury. It was a short week. He had to come and play on Thursday. It's like these things do take time, and I think that he's going to turn it around really quickly. Like, I have no doubt about that.
Yeah, no, I'm not. Saquon is the one part of that team that I don't doubt, because I know that Saquon is putting in that work to come back, and that's a tough injury to come back from. Saquon is not the question to me. You know, once he's back full speed, we know what he's capable of. I just don't know. And I like Daniel Jones. I think he's very athletic. He's obviously fast. But to your point about the play calling, it just doesn't seem like they have a lot of faith in him.
Yeah, I agree with that. I agree with that. And I'm also like, but to be fair, though, sometimes they don't have those routes right. Like, Kyle Rudolph messed that up. Obviously, that big drop from Darius Slayton, which everyone's talking about the drop, but it was a little overthrown. But I think if it touches your hand, you should catch it. Like, Darius Slayton should have pulled that in. I totally agree. But they're just that offense in general. Like, the receivers aren't necessarily putting in all the work they need to. And Daniel Jones, I think, panics sometimes a bit. And that's obviously why we see all the turnovers that he has. But it's also why he makes some of the throws that he makes.
We're talking to Taylor Rooks, Bleacher Report, on the Joy Taylor Show, Fox Sports Radio. So we were just saying that division. We were talking a little bit about Philadelphia and Jalen Hurts, but I don't know that I like Jalen Hurts. I want to wait on Philadelphia a little bit because I don't know that the Falcons are that bad. Now, full disclosure, I am not one of these people that buys into the Falcons every single year. I know you're a Georgia girl, but are the Falcons that bad?
Well, you know I'm the wrong person to ask about this, because I'm going to be like, no, we're going to turn it around. But I do not think the Falcons are as bad as, like, some of their, like, the score indicates. And I'm not saying this is a good thing, but the Falcons are a team that kind of takes some time, like, to just get there. Like, the team that we're going to see in the middle of the season is going to be a night and day difference from the team we saw against the Eagles. Honestly, probably the team we see against Tampa Bay will be different. Like, honestly, though, I think I'm trying to say this without feeling like that much of a homer. I think a lot of people feel like the problem on that team is Matt Ryan. I think Matt Ryan has a lot of good football left in him, but I don't always agree. Again, this is something that goes back to play calling, how offensive coordinators use him. I think he was great with Shanahan, and that was kind of his match. And ever since then, he hasn't found somebody that he gelled with in the same way. And that, to me, is a big problem, is who the offensive coordinator is. Because if you think about it, if you had a team with Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley and Matt Ryan, like, you should have just been winning more games just at its base with those players. But something isn't clicking on another level for them to be used correctly. Like, Julio wanting to leave Atlanta was more than just like, okay, they're losing. There was something that wasn't working for him within that team. And to me, that starts with coordinators, starts with coaches. So I think start working once they feel like they have a better match with their coordinator.
Oh, I think that's totally fair. I mean, you can just look at what's happened to that offense since Shanahan has left. I think that's completely fair criticism. We're talking to Taylor.
Yeah, and that was it. I'm not going to lie. We needed to win the Super Bowl that year. Like, I just need one in my lifetime, and I was starting to feel like it's not going to happen for me because it needed to be then. But I don't know. We'll get it together. I really think Calvin Ridley has the potential to be as good as Julio. I really, truly do. Calvin Ridley is really, really good. I like what I saw from Kyle Pitts, too. Need to get him involved more. We also need a really good run game. That's another thing the Falcons haven't had in a bit. So we just need a little more pieces, but we'll be okay.
Yeah, I need Kyle Pitts to get going. Taylor and I are in a fantasy football league together, and I have Kyle Pitts, and that was no one cares about this, but I'm that person that talks about my fantasy football team, so sorry. But look, a lot of people have Aaron Rodgers, and I had Aaron Rodgers last week, so we could collectively all cry together, but I also have Kyle Pitts.
But I do have to say, though, Joy, shout out to you having Graham Gano.
Ooh! Ooh!
He had to get you like 20 points.
I think he was around. He was around 20. Graham Gayess. Graham Gayess. So
yeah,
corny.
Yeah, you know, that's a day. And it's crazy because he was still on the board when I took my kicker. I'm like, I wish I went with him. That was nuts.
I love him for that. So I've been able to experience Super Bowls with the Steelers, but I don't know that I'll ever be able to experience with the Dolphins. So I totally understand that. The guy who stole that from you is Tom Brady, who this week talked about kind of in jest. You know, I think he's like leaning into this he's going to play forever thing. And he's, you know, doing more interviews and he's on social now and more. But, he said that he could play until he's 50. And he's been talking about, you know, how long he's going to play and, you know, how do other people simulate what he's doing? But the thing about Tom Brady is, while guys are definitely playing later into their careers because of medicine, because of rehab, because of all the different things, eating and supplements and things that we have available now that, you know, weren't available 20 years ago, guys are playing later. But I still feel like guys like Tom Brady and LeBron James are outliers. I'm still not completely sold that the norm is going to be at the age of 44, you're going to be playing at the level that Tom Brady is and like LeBron James.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I 100% agree with that. And I think we're going to get into this space where people think that because they can still play, they should, right? But like, there's a difference between like playing well and it's like playing the minimum level and being able to say that you did because you're this old guy who's still in whatever your respective league is. I do think Tom Brady is like that unicorn that probably could play until he's 50. But think about it. I'm not saying Gronk can play till he's 50, but Gronk's up there too and he's still operating at a really high level. I think those guys that really have dedicated so much of their life to making sure their body stays intact and is operating at a high level, because we both know, even some of these elite players do not put a major focus on their body. Mm-hmm. Like these guys, every single day, what they want is their body to operate like a well-oiled machine. There's a lot of elite athletes that rely on the fact that they're just really talented and naturally athletic and don't put in as much body work and rehab and maintenance as they probably should. I think if you make that a focus, you probably can. But I did like that interview with him and Gronk. I thought it was fun. And it's like him and Gronk are so likable on the Buccaneers.
Oh,
maybe I just
it's
like
amazing.
In love with Brady just as a Patriot, but now I'm like, this guy's so fun. Like, let's watch some more interviews.
Well, I've known Gronk a long time, so he's always been. He is one of the most consistent people, like the most consistent humans I've ever known in my life. Like he is Gronk 24/7 all the time. Same dude. And I think the Patriots they realized that earlier and were like, there's no point in trying to put this guy in a box because it's just going to drive him crazy. It's not going to work. So he was one of the one personalities that you know, Bill Belichick and the Patriots allowed to kind of be himself. But this new Tom Brady is incredible. I love it. It's just
I love that he's on social. Like, I'm loving how into crypto he is, even though I'm still like, can someone please explain crypto? Like, I'm like all these things. I'm really liking Buccaneers Brady. It's fun. It's a good time.
I need someone to explain crypto to me, and I don't understand what an NFT is. I don't get it. Why can't I just screenshot this and now I own it? What is the difference?
I know, exactly. I'm like, non-fungible token. They're like, well, it's because there's a path and you know exactly who owned it and like it cannot be duplicated. And I'm just like, I could go on YouTube and type in the highlights.
But I just screenshot it, so it's duplicated now. So I have it, right?
Like, exactly.
I don't understand. Listen.
But people are making so much money. It's insane.
I'm not a doctor. And I don't understand crypto and NFTs. So I there's no chance I'm ever going to be a doctor, no matter how many YouTube videos and memes I read. And maybe I can get a grasp on crypto and NFTs. But thank you so much for joining me, Taylor. I love you, love you, love you. Make sure you check out her show on Bleacher Report, Quavo, Michael B. Jordan, John Morant. And she's going to have more guests coming up. So follow her at Taylor Rooks. And especially during the NBA season, because Taylor has the best NBA takes.
Oh, thanks, my love. I love you. I come on anytime. I'm loving the show, and I'll keep listening.
Thank you, babe.
All right, bye.
Bye, Taylor. Joy Taylor on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. We'll talk to Darius Butler at the bottom of the hour. A lot going on in college football. Nebraska, Oklahoma. Oklahoma wins 23-16. There is 13 minutes left in the Michigan State-Miami game. Michigan State is up 23-14. West Virginia up on Virginia Tech 27-14. We'll get you updated with all of the rest of the games. Purdue is up 3-0 on Notre Dame at the moment. Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year. It's amazing because Discover is accepted at 99% of the places in the U.S. that take credit cards. Learn more at discover.com/yes2021. Nielsen report. Limitations apply. Darius Butler at the bottom of the hour. The Joy Taylor Show. Ooh. The bops on a Saturday, Sam. Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Talk to Darius Butler at the bottom of the hour. Thank you to Taylor Rooks and Nick Wright for joining us earlier. Looking at the beautiful Jenny Taft talking to Spencer Rattler. 24-34, 214 yards, one touchdown and one rushing touchdown today. And Oklahoma's win over Nebraska. I'm still trying to block out this Canes game. Michigan State 24-14. Michigan State's for real, I guess. I mean, is that this is a big win for them. They're going to win.
I don't know about for real, for real.
I mean, they're going to win, right? Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm going to keep it real. 3-0.
They could be ranked by next week.
I think they will be ranked.
Canes won't be if they lose this.
Correct.
They'll be 1-2.
And they don't deserve to. Well, all right, for real. I mean, look, I'm sad, so I might be overreacting there, but they've put up 38, 42, and at this point 24 over Miami today consecutively in games. So they are putting up a lot of points in these wins. So that's something. So I want to talk a little bit about Justin Fields. So I have been on, I am very consistent with this with young quarterbacks because it makes me a little bit crazy. Every time a quarterback is drafted, a young quarterback, as the future of the organization, not like second, third round, whatever, there's this mentality that has been adopted as of late that all these young guys need to sit behind someone because Patrick Mahomes, because Aaron Rodgers. And I'm really not into it. Every other young player, every other rookie that's taken in any other position is expected to be able to play right away. There isn't this bubble wrap situation for any other position except for the quarterback. And look, I understand that the quarterback position is very difficult to play and the speed of the game is a tremendous difference from college, and there's plays and you're the leader and it's a lot. All right, I get it. It's big boy stuff. I understand. But if you're the Chicago Bears and you watch that game against the LA Rams like last week, and Andy Dalton is out there going 27 of 38 for 206 yards, averaging 5.4 yards per attempt. I mean, you're watching that game. How could you be less enthused about moving forward with Andy Dalton as the starter? And this situation with Justin Fields has been confusing for me from the very beginning. I understand. It has been communicated to us that Andy Dalton was promised the starting position for the Chicago Bears. I get it. And look, perhaps I'm a bit cold-hearted, but this is why I like to get things in writing. What is this? What are we talking about? A promise? He was promised something? Like, okay, so he started week one. The purpose of starting Andy Dalton is so that he doesn't make crucial mistakes. That's the fear, right? Because Justin Fields is more mobile than Andy Dalton, so you know that you don't have a great offensive line in Chicago. Justin Fields is more mobile. So in theory, because the offensive line is great, Justin Fields would be a better option for that. So the reason Andy Dalton is out there is to not make mistakes, and he made mistakes and was everything was a check down. Everything was underneath. I would just be out of my mind if I was a Bears fan. And I'm not a Bears fan, but I do think that that's city deserves something to be excited about, and it's really, really wild that they're just moving on down. Andy Dalton's still the starter. It's so confusing to me. And I'm now in the space where I'm not a big conspiracy theorist. I'm not. Generally, I don't think I have any control over the massive things that happened in the world because I'm not a, you know, billionaire. So I just don't think I make those kind of decisions. And if I need advice on something, I try to find an expert who knows about it. But when things start to happen for a consistent amount of time, I might be a little open to a conspiracy or two. And it's starting to feel like maybe Matt Nagy doesn't really have a lot of personnel say there. Colin and I were talking about this yesterday. You can catch us on the Herd, noon to 3 weekdays on FS1. Then maybe Matt Nagy just doesn't have a lot of personnel decision making power there. And this is a GM ownership decision. Because it doesn't make a lot, it's starting to not make a lot of football sense. And I just am not a fan of young guys not starting. I hated it for Tua, hated it. You're losing time of evaluation. You're losing developments. Maybe Tua was still coming off the injury that wasn't really communicated. So it seemed like he was healthy last year. So I just feel like he should have been out there. Joe Burrow, Justin Herbert. They didn't even start Baker Mayfield week one, which was ridiculous. Like, why is Baker Mayfield's the number one overall pick? Why is he not starting week one? I just, it's frustrating to me. I get it. It worked for Aaron Rodgers. He was sitting behind Brett Favre. I get it. It worked for Patrick Mahomes. Many people, well, I can't say many people, but people in that organization have talked about Patrick Mahomes. He probably would have been able to start his first year. He didn't necessarily need to sit behind Alex Smith. Did it help him? He says it did. It happened the way it did, so I guess we'll never know. But I am not a fan of young quarterbacks not being out there immediately if they're healthy. Now, I do think the San Francisco situation is a bit of an outlier. They do have a Super Bowl capable roster. They're in a division where you don't really get a lot of flexibility to experiment with things. They have high expectations. Their fans have high expectations. And Jimmy Garoppolo is very capable and is a winner when he is healthy. But even there, it's starting to become a problem. Like, Jimmy Garoppolo had bought into that situation, it seems, publicly, and was supportive of it and aware. Obviously, they took Trey Lance. They're going to move on to him eventually. He seems like he was being a good soldier about it. And now he is... Not entirely changing his tune, but when talking, is not so enthusiastic about sharing snaps with Trey Lance. So I just think if you have more than one quarterback, you have no quarterback. And I think you're wasting time and crucial developmental games when you don't start quarterbacks right away. And also, if you're looking at the way that you win a Super Bowl or make it to a Super Bowl these days, we looked at, on the Herd, we looked at the last, I think, 10 or 11 years at the quarterback's cap hit if you're going to win a Super Bowl. And generally, across the board, it was under 13. So you want to win with a young quarterback, generally, or a quarterback that's going to take a huge pay cut, like Tom Brady, and then put pieces around him. So if you are waiting a year... to put your young quarterback out there, you're actually losing time that you could be signing big free agents and building a team around your young quarterback and be aggressive. Because once you pay him, it makes it difficult to bring in other guys. So I just don't understand what they're doing in Chicago. I think this week will be a big tell for them to see what direction they go in at the quarterback position. They play the Bengals. What could be bad is if they go out there, Andy Dalton doesn't look great against the Bengals. Or for that matter, Joe Burrow looks great. Which, you know, he gets sacked like 6 times a game, but he still manages to dish it out. So they're a storyline that I'm following closely this season. I don't get it, but I'm starting to kind of feel like Matt Nagy might not have as much say there as he should. as the head coach of that football team. We'll talk to Darius Butler, get his thoughts on that and a whole lot more, including the Colts being on a regular season Hard Knocks. What does he think about that being his former team? But let's find out what's trending first.
Joey, we'll leave things off with college football. Oklahoma got a little bit of a scare for Nebraska. They won 23-16, did Oklahoma. In that ballgame, Eric Gray had 15 carries for 84 yards, but Oklahoma continues to be undefeated on the season. Texas A&M, perfect as well. They blasted New Mexico 34-0. Isaiah Spiller had 117 yards on 15 carries and a TD. Cincinnati up by 6, but Indiana's driving right now. First down and goal to go at the Bearcats' 2-yard line, 8:46 to play in the fourth quarter. Virginia Tech trying to make things interesting. They trail West Virginia on the road 27-21. Tech has the football, though. Fourth down and goal to go at the Mountaineers' 3-yard line. This ballgame is on FS1. Chanticleers of Coastal Carolina, 3-0. They beat Buffalo 28-25. Michigan State has the ball. They're on the move, and they lead number 24 Miami. 24-17 is the score there. Michigan by 53 over Northern Illinois. Notre Dame 7-3 over Purdue. And you have Alabama and Florida on deck right now. Crimson Tide, large favorites in this ballgame. 14 points is that spread. Joy, back to you.
Thank you, David Gascon, for the update. Upgrade to a Dollar Shave Club 6-blade razor for a noticeably smooth shave thanks to their 6 precision-cut stainless steel blades. Find your perfect shave with Dollar Shave Club in stores. Yes, that's Dollar Shave Club in store, so go to the store and find them. Welcome to the club. Joy Taylor on the Joy Taylor Show here on Fox Sports Radio. Let's talk to Darius Butler. What's up, bro? How are you enjoying your college football Saturday?
You know, I went to UConn, so I don't participate in college football Saturday. These days, I'm just rooting against all of my friends' teams, so I stay away from college football. I'm ready for tomorrow, though. I'm ready for tomorrow.
What? You're part of the hater ball? Hate,
hate,
hate.
Oh, absolutely.
Unbelievable.
I hate this day. I hate college football. And UConn, I mean, I think my squad is just ruined it for me at this point.
I mean, listen, I'm sitting here watching Michigan State up 24-17 on Miami with...
Hey, that's what I'm saying. And I'm from South Florida, so Florida State stinks. I mean, it's upside down right now.
Yeah, it's a tragedy. Follow Darius on social media at Darius J. Butler and the Man to Man Pod. You can catch him on that weekdays. What time do you guys go live?
We're Mondays and Thursdays right now.
Okay.
11 o'clock Eastern Standard Time in the morning.
11 Eastern. So, Darius, your Colts are going to be on. Well, yeah, we'll talk about the game in a second, but some news came down that they are going to be on a regular season version of Hard Knocks. So we found that out Thursday. What was your reaction when you heard that news?
I mean, I was shocked, honestly. That it was the Colts. I didn't understand. I didn't really understand the decision. Obviously, we got a lot going on, bringing in Carson Wentz and, trying to win some games and get to, build a contender. I'm not a big fan. I was kind of blah, but I'm not a big fan of it. I'm going to say I'm against it at this point. It'll be first team that's doing something like this. All the teams nowadays in the NFL kind of have their social teams to do a good job of shooting things, but to just have all those cameras and people around there throughout the season, I've never been a part of Hard Knocks, but it has to be, some type of distraction, especially during a season like this.
Well, that's what I felt because, everyone has cameras around all the time now. Obviously, you mentioned the social teams, but that's internal. So they're going to be extra careful and they're going to know when they're not welcome. And I haven't seen any update on if they're allowing them to do it or they're being forced to do it. Because, Hard Knocks, you don't have a choice. If you fall within the qualifier of Hard Knocks and they come to you like you're doing Hard Knocks, they can't say no. So I don't know if that's a situation with the Colts, but yeah, I mean, you've been
But why force the Colts though? I mean, I don't know. I think it's a lot of storylines around the NFL. I wouldn't put the Colts storyline, up there in even the top five. Like it could have been a ton of places, bigger markets, different teams, different storylines that, Hard Knocks could have chose. So it was weird. Honestly, it was weird.
I mean, you've been in these locker rooms. Like, do you think it's going to be a distraction for them this year?
Athletes adapt. So So I think, you know, at some point, you know, you kind of get used to it. I actually was in 2009, I believe, NFL Films did something with Belichick where, you know, cameras were in our meeting rooms and things like that. But at that point, I was so young that I didn't really care. But I don't think it, I think guys will get used to it. But this is the thing. If you're 1-4 or 2-7 or, you know, you're struggling, now it becomes a thing and it gets a lot more annoying. If you're, you know, 7-1, 6-2, yeah, keep the cameras. It's a lot of fun in here. But, you know, if you're struggling, you know, losing hurts everything. And they got another tough matchup coming into town this week with the Rams. So I wouldn't be too excited about the cameras right now.
We're talking to Darius Butler, the Patriots, Panthers, Colts, former cornerback now in the media himself, man-to-man pod.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that game. Obviously, not a good week one for the Colts. Now, I'm much higher on the Seahawks than a lot of people are this year, but that was a rough outing, 28-16 to start the season, and now they have the Rams this week, who we were just talking about, Justin Fields and that situation in Chicago, which I do not understand. But, you know, the Rams look good. So how are you feeling about the Colts bouncing back this week?
Yeah, I mean, we're dealing with some injuries. We're still dealing with some guys being out. Xavier Rhodes, he's out. He's one of the reasons why I picked the Colts, you know, unfortunately to lose last week. He's out. Darius Leonard is dealing with some injuries. Quentin Nelson still dealing with his foot. T.Y. Hilton's out. And this is a tough team on both sides of the ball coming in the building with the Rams. You know, obviously got Stafford in there, quarterback, Sean McVay offense. They're explosive. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you got a former head coach, Raheem Morris, calling the shot. And you got, you know, two of the best players at their position with Aaron Donald and Jalen Ramsey. They kind of make things go on that defensive side of the ball. So it's going to be a tough outing for the Colts. We always seem, for some reason, to start out slow in the season. And they got some tough teams coming in. So I don't see them winning this game. I see the Rams winning. They starting in the 0-2 hole. But, you know, the rest of the division, everybody else lost except Houston last week. So I think it'll still be a way for them to win this division down the stretch.
Houston at top of the division. There were some blowouts. There were some blowouts week one. Falcons, Titans, Colts, as we just discussed. Jacksonville, Giants got blown out and then beat themselves on Thursday. And the Bears as well. What team were you genuinely – or I didn't even mention the Packers in that, did I? Nope, sure didn't. Packers,
no.
Packers the most important blowout of all. What team are you most concerned about? Like, we always overreact to week one, but now we've seen a little bit. So what team were you most concerned about after their week one performance?
Oh, man. The Titans, I would say. You know, I was shocked by that performance, and I think we all expect them to come out and at least be – good on offense, but you know, they got dominated. They let Chandler Jones completely ruin that game.
Ooh.
I think that's not only on the players, and I know Taylor Lewan came out and put his statement out, but you know, that's bigger than a player when you let one guy, you know, ruin a whole game like that with 5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles. So are the Titans. Not too worried about the Green Bay Packers. I think they'll be all right. I think Aaron Rodgers will be all right. Obviously they had a lot of drama, you know, in that locker room and outside of it for this whole off season. And the New Orleans Saints just came out and put a whooping to them from wire to wire. But I think they'll bounce back and they'll be all right. So I'm not going to overreact too much. But one team that didn't get blew out that I'm kind of concerned about would be the Ravens, just because of their injuries on the both sides of the ball and their style of play, especially defensively. They're very aggressive with pressure up front, and that's a tough division. So if you don't have those dogs in the back end that can cover and hold their own for 60 minutes, I see a tough road ahead with everybody in that division. Pittsburgh's playing well. Browns played well. They lost last week. And the Bengals came out, and they're looking good, too. So, tough division. So, I'm worried about the Ravens, too, right now.
You know, we're talking to Darius Butler on Fox Sports Radio, the Joy Taylor Show. It's interesting. I've been wanting to talk about the Ravens all morning, so I'm glad you brought them up. Because, obviously, that game, like, that's a tough game, right? Like, Vegas clearly looks like it's going to be a hard place to play. I'm not high on the Raiders. I think the Steelers cover 6.5 this week. I'm not high on the Raiders. Yeah, I'm gonna go wild.
I think Raiders cover. Steelers win. But I got you.
You think the Raiders cover? I mean, six and a half is a lot of points, but that Steelers defense, exactly. TJ Watt is out here. He's out here wrecking lives.
Monster.
So, all right. So you mentioned the Ravens. You're concerned about them. I, too, am concerned about the Ravens. Not Lamar Jackson, obviously, but them as a whole. Like, they could start the I don't think they're going to beat the Chiefs this week. And that was a rough loss, although I don't think it's on Lamar. It was a rough loss against the Raiders. I don't think they beat the Chiefs this week, and they start 0-2. Is that something to be concerned about?
I mean, I'm a huge Lamar fan. He's definitely not the guy that I'm worried about. Mm-hmm. But you know, he's definitely got to take some of that loss though. He had two fumbles that he lost. You know, early on he didn't look comfortable in the pocket. Wasn't making what I thought should be easy throws. Neither did Derek Carr early on in the game. But down the stretch, Carr picked it up. Lamar made some plays as well. But it's what's around him. You know, I think the running back room, they'll figure it out. They'll be all right with Latavius Murray and co. The offensive line, though, I mean, they made the Raiders' front four look like, I think they blitzed maybe twice that game, and they had pressure on them absolutely all game. Mm-hmm. So they're going to be seeing those type of pass rush week in and week out. So that's what I'm more concerned about than losing Marcus Peters. And can you generate a pass rush without rushing five, six, or seven guys at the quarterback? Because if you can't do that, you're going to get exposed at the back end, just like you saw it happen on the last play of the game. So that's why I'm worried about it. So a lot of reasons why I'm worried about the Ravens. Lamar would be pretty low, on that list as the reasons why I would worry about the Ravens, though.
Well, Darius Butler, thank you so much for joining us this week on Fox Sports Radio. We'll have you on again. And do yourself a favor. Do not look at that Kane score. I'm not even going to, you're from South Florida. You know, I love Miami. This is not a good start to my Saturday watching this right now. 31-17. 31-17 Michigan State over Miami right now.
Michigan State. Come on, man. But appreciate you for having me. Congrats again on your new show, too, man. Big thing.
Thank you, bro. Make sure you check out the Man to Man pod. Follow Darius on social media at Darius J. Butler. Joy Taylor on the Joy Taylor Show on Fox Sports Radio. Get you updated with all of the college football scores. Get you my picks for tomorrow on the other side. Oh, I mean, this is rude. Sam, you're supposed to be this sweet Iowa guy, and you're trolling me right now. I'll forget.
Y'all feel that? 38-17.
We feel that. Michigan State smoking number 24 Miami. It's 38-17 right now. It's just a tragedy. Man, I don't even know what to do with the Canes anymore. I don't even know what to do. We didn't get to talk about USC yet today, but that hire is going to be monumental. Now, look, I haven't heard a lot of people say this, but like when you fire a coach that's been there for as long as Helton's been there, 2 weeks into the college football season, like you didn't know in the off season that's the move you wanted to make. But whatever, it's made now. So, I mean, I feel like that's an indictment a little bit to me. You could have handled this before, but it's a very big hire. It's very significant. Miami is a huge brand. USC is a huge brand. It's important to college football to get these, kind of flashy outlier teams to be competitive in the college football space. And that USC hire is very, very significant. And they've said that they're going to take their time. But, man, I would not want to be the one making that decision, because you got to get that hire right. They cannot afford to mess that up. And LA is a very distracted market. There's a lot going on out here. And, you can make fun of USC if you want, but it's still a very huge brand and it's significant to college football. So they got to get that right. So Miami down 38-17, minute left. So that's over. So that's an L. Notre Dame is up 10-3 on Purdue. And we're headed into the NFL Sunday. Joy Taylor and the Joy Taylor Show. Stick around for Fox Football Saturday. Coming up next, Steve Hartman and Jeff Schwartz. I didn't get to hear how crazy Jeff went last week. Was he out of his mind? Was he wild?
Yeah, he needed a little bit of time to calm down a little bit. I said he needed some beta blockers, for that blood pressure.
I mean, he deserved it. That's a really nice win. That's significant. So thank you to Ryan and Sam for joining me today. helping out with the show. Thank you to Darius Butler. Make sure you check him out on the Man to Man pod, Taylor Rooks, Bleacher Report. Check out her show. And, of course, Nick Wright on FS1 weekdays on First Things First. And you can catch me and Colin on Fox Sports Radio and The Herd noon to 3 weekdays. Thank you for hanging out with me today. So Darius tried to talk me out of my Steelers pick. I will not be moved. I think the Steelers cover 6.5. I usually don't go anywhere near spreads that big, but I am not buying the Raiders. So I will not allow anyone to poke holes in my confidence in my Pittsburgh Steelers. I'm going with them. I'm also going with the Carolina Panthers. Carolina Panthers to cover against the Saints. You know, the Saints looked great last week, but they're going to be missing a few pieces. Marcus Davenport, Quan Alexander, both on the injured reserve. And Eric McCoy, Pete Werner, and Chase Hansen are also out for Sunday's game, along with 7 assistant coaches. So make of that what you will. But I'm going to take the Panthers to cover in that game. So those are my 2 big bets for tomorrow. Games I'm not going near, but everyone seems to love, is Niners-Eagles. I want to see some more for the Eagles before I start going crazy on them. San Francisco is a good team. Don't be fooled by what happened with the Lions, because I think the Packers are going to roll the Lions on Monday nights. Darius talked about it a little bit, but the game that I'm probably the most interested in is Chiefs and Ravens tomorrow. Tomorrow night, marquee game. I think the Ravens could start the season 0-2. And what I don't know, you know, in general, Lamar Jackson, I think, is great. Obviously, there's no question about that. He's an MVP. He's incredible. But it just seems like there's always like a little something off with the Ravens. And look, if they win this game, I'm totally wrong, which happens rarely. But occasionally, I'm wrong about something. I think the Chiefs win. And that's kind of a rough spot for the Ravens to be in. That division is really interesting. I don't think the Steelers are a playoff team this year. I think the Browns win the division, despite the fact that Baker Mayfield thinks I hate him and Cleveland thinks I'm a huge hater, which is just really weird. It's just exhausting. Like Cleveland, all I say is nice things about the Browns. I love Kevin Stefanski, coach of the year. All I say is nice things, and I get repaid by being the first voice you hear. The sultry sounds of Joy Taylor, the first voice you hear on the Baker hater video for 2021-22 season. Unbelievable. But I think the Browns win that division. It's going to get very interesting if the Ravens go 0-2. But again, I'm going with Steelers to cover against the Raiders, 6.5, and the Panthers plus 3.5. Thank you so much for joining me again on a beautiful Saturday afternoon. Make sure you stick around on Fox Sports Radio. Steve Hartman, Jeff Schwartz coming up next on Fox Football Saturday. Thank you, Ryan. Thank you, Sam. Thank you to Taylor Rooks, Darius Butler, and Nick Wright. Again, make sure you check me and Colin out noon to 3 weekdays on FS1. I'm going to go and be sad about my Miami Hurricanes getting smoked. Thanks for joining me. Stick around here on Fox Sports Radio.